Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
He is risen. Welcome to our Easter Sunday celebration, everyone. It's so great to see all of you here in one of our greatest services of the entire year. I want to take a moment to say hello to all of you who are joining us on our online campus, both on our broadcast and our podcast. Happy Easter to all of you. And of course, a huge welcome to all of you that are here as our guests today, visiting with us perhaps for the first time, or maybe a returning guest, whether you're here in the house in person or joining us online. We want to welcome you back and just pray that today you would experience the power of God in a new way and feel at home, feel like you're a part of our family. And so this is a great day for feeling at home, right? And today's the day. Which brings us to the significance of this moment. As we celebrate the reason for the hope that we have in a hopeless, sometimes hopeless world. We have a full life because of an empty tomb. Now, if you have your Bibles today, I'd love for you to turn with me to the book of Mark, and let's read the first seven verses of chapter 16 together. Mark chapter 16, 1-7 says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might anoint Jesus' body. So Jesus had already been crucified and was now in the tomb, and these ladies were headed to anoint his body, to have someone open the tomb for them, and then we continue on. Verse 2, it says, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? Obviously, they didn't feel that they were able to do it. They're wondering who that will be. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, this massive, very large stone, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, the Bible says they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. To say the least, right? I'd be like, yay, what's going on? You see this guy kind of sitting there, maybe a little glow on him. It says, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, the place where they laid him. The tomb was completely empty. And I've had the chance to visit this part of the world and see the tomb that they think was the tomb. And I indeed can confirm there's nobody home. It's empty, completely empty. And then it says in verse 7, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you. I think the last part of those verses is comforting to all of us, especially as we head into different seasons of our lives. You need to know that God is always going ahead of you to prepare the way. And these ladies, long before we read about the early church in the book of Acts, these ladies really represent the early church. They're like the first members of the church as they saw what they saw and then reached out and told everybody the good news. Now, if you're traveling or have traveled over the spring break, some of you will understand what I'm saying, but if you've ever traveled to somewhere, especially long distances, maybe even overseas, and on your first night, usually, you kind of wake up out of a dead sleep, and you're just confused. It's not my room. It's not my house. Like, what's going on? Where am I? Like, it's hard, because in that moment, it can be very disorienting. As your brain races to try to catch up and figure out what's going on. Years ago, I booked a flight on LL Airlines out of New York City for my first trip to Israel. So I first got a direct flight from YVR, from here in Vancouver, to New York City. But because of delays with flights and the connections, I was just exhausted. By the time boarding started and I got on my plane, I felt like I was asleep and I was still standing up. So you kind of navigate onto the plane. It's a big plane. It's huge. And so my seat just happened to be clear at the back of the bus. And so I wait, I'm very patient. I'm hoping to find a place for my carry-on. And all the way at the back, I'm talking the back seat. I had one seat on the aisle, which I'm thankful for, because I could get in and out if I had to. But this aisle seat on the very back row was right by the washrooms where people would line up and get in there. But I didn't care at that point. I was so tired that I just was glad to get in my seat, have my bag stowed, and say, okay, let's get on with it. This is going to be a long flight. And so typically, I don't sleep great on flights. There's always something happening, so I'm always kind of stirred out of it. But on this particular flight, I was out. Just like a light, I was gone. Now, I'm sure that while I was sleeping, there was people coming and going out of my aisle, but I don't have a clue what was going on. I don't remember any of it. But then at one point, when I finally woke up, my seat was kind of reclined as far as it could go back, because there was a wall there. But I heard some mumbling, and I was like, what's going on? Where am I? I opened my, my eyes and looked up, and I could see like a dozen or so men with big white beards, with black hats and black jackets all over top of me. I'm like, am I dead? What's happening right now? It was a whole group of Orthodox Jewish men. And suddenly I had just a great feeling of panic. I'm like, what? I've overslept. Like we're deplaning. People are getting off the plane. I got to get up. But then I realized as my brain raced along and suddenly caught up with reality that we were still very much in flight and that these gentlemen had made their way to Davin at the back of the plane, which means to pray. It was time for morning prayers. And so they all would go to the back and stand and pray together. And so that was the scene I woke up in, like swarmed by these men in black hats. But it took a minute to wake up, to come to my kind of senses and understand what was going on. So I identify with what these ladies were going through when they got to the tomb and they saw something that was very foreign to them. When they showed up, still mourning the death of Jesus, their mind struggled with what they were seeing. The stone was rolled back, and the angel was speaking to them. And most alarming of all, Jesus, he was gone. He was completely gone. I'm sure one said to the other, did he say he's risen? You mean he's not here anymore? Like, where is he? What's going on? They, too, were trying to catch up. Just like me, waking up surrounded in a very unfamiliar scene. As they began to process the moment, they began to feel, I think, a little less alarmed and a little more excited about the possibilities of the promises that they had held so tightly to for so many years. Now, it seemed that all the hopes and dreams of the disciples were kind of dashed when Jesus died on the cross. But then came the news that his tomb was empty. His empty tomb was actually full of promise and new life. But initially, most of the disciples thought these ladies were just hysterical. Like, you all are exaggerating. So a couple of them doubled back, ran to the tomb to verify that Jesus was still there. But when they got there, no, he wasn't. It was completely empty, just like they said. Now, their minds were racing, and their spirits were trying to catch up to this moment that they found themselves in. The empty tomb was actually full of the promise and the possibility of what it really means in our lives when we know him in a personal way. This new reality changed everything for them and for us today. And as we thank God for the cross, as we worship him for his resurrection, one of the most powerful truths we can embrace is the fact that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now abides within us. And one of the implications of this truth is that the resurrection and the empty tomb of Jesus gives us the power to close the gap from what our life is to what our life could be. The 3 days between Jesus' death and resurrection show us the progression through which pain becomes victory. And the difficult seasons of our lives can take us through the same path as we partner with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that we may navigate some painful times and some times where we feel crushed or where we stumble. But if we trust Him, if we hold fast to the same power, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, He will see us through past those death moments to a place of new life and victory. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." Lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life, a full life, to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Jesus died on the cross, not to just save us from our sins, but to resurrect us from emotional, relational, and spiritual death in our lives. Because the tomb is empty, because He lives, everything dying on the inside of us can live again. That resurrection power, living in those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, gives us access to the power that can raise up the dead areas of our lives. I don't know about you, but that's certainly something to celebrate today on Easter Sunday. So, the empty tomb is actually full, filled with new life and limitless possibilities and promises of God and what He has for our lives. And by faith, you and I are assured of the promises we find in the empty tomb for our relationship with Him, that intimate relationship that He desires us to have. In the empty tomb, we find restoration. You know, the Bible tells us that in the beginning of the book, we read about Adam and Eve, and they had this amazing relationship with God. They walked and they talked with Him in the garden, and He supplied for all their needs. They didn't even have to lay out clothes in the morning. They just walked out the door. It was awesome, right? And before sin entered the equation, they enjoyed the perfect relationship in the perfect place until that perfection was lost. But then God put a plan in motion, a plan for Christ to die, to rise, and to save mankind. And it was all to restore that relationship that had been broken. That's what sin does. John 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." If we accept who He is, if we accept what He did, then the empty tomb becomes symbolic of a very personal relationship that God desires for all of us to have with Him. Second thing that we see in the tomb is that we find hope in that empty tomb. When Jesus rose from the grave, the stone that was rolled away from the tomb was symbolic of the barrier of hopelessness because of sin that separated us from God. And at the very moment Christ died on the cross, there was actually some things that happened on earth, like physically, things that people would have taken note of in that moment. The Bible tells us that the earth shook, that rocks split open, the tombs broke open, and that the curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies was ripped right down the middle. That means that no longer did the priest need to go and speak to God for us, but now it was made accessible. We could walk in and connect with God ourselves. Hebrews 6:19 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." You see, the promise of the empty tomb is that Jesus has restored hope. He's offered us forgiveness, and He's removed the barrier that used to be there between us. Now He abides in our hearts, not behind a curtain. And then finally, in the empty tomb, we find a full life. Jesus overcame death. Like, full stop. That's like a drop the mic moment. He overcame death. For many of us, death is the final frontier. But for Jesus, it was only the beginning of what was to come. And by overcoming death itself, Jesus was able to truly say that He overcame everything for us to experience new life. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus, after His resurrection, made this bold declaration. He says, "Then Jesus came to them, to the disciples, and He said, all authority, all of it, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Our relationship with God today is full because Jesus also passed that authority down to you and to me. The empty tomb not only symbolizes the overcoming work of Christ, but that now in him, you and I can overcome too on a daily basis. No matter what we face, we can overcome these moments with his strength. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now lives and works in us. Because of the empty tomb, you can live a full life. His empty tomb has given us all that we need. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. He paid for that excellence and that full life to be living in you because he abides in you. Now, I'm mindful of the fact that today, even on Easter Sunday, there are those that are here with us, either online or in the house, that are seeking, that are asking questions, that are still unsure. But I want you to know that God has you here today with great purpose, wherever you are. And in the stillness of this moment, I want to take an opportunity to pray for you. I want you to know that there's been many people praying for you in this moment, that no matter what confusion, what darkness you've been navigating, what confusion you've been experiencing, that God wants to give you freedom. He wants to give you a full life, that you can experience that in him. So if that's you today, or maybe you once experienced that, but you veered off, today is the day to return to him. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Would you pray with this, with me right now in this moment? Let's pray that God would do that eternal work that only he can do by simply praying this prayer with me now. Father God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. I thank you that because of it, my sins are forgiven. I pray that you would come into my heart, that you would be my Lord and Savior, that you would give me the full life that you've intended for me to have, that hope would fill my heart and it would also fill my mouth as I tell the world what you've done within me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Happy Easter to all of you that prayed that prayer today for the first time or maybe have prayed it again as you return to him. And if that's you, if you're online, tell one of our hosts in the chat about the decision you've made today. Give them some basic information. We want to get some resources to you. The same for those of you that are here in the house. If you take that yellow card that's in the back of your seat that says, I have decided, fill out some basic information, your name and your email. We'd love to get in touch with you to give you some resources that will help you to grow in your faith and to become more like him. Happy Easter to all of you. Have an amazing day. God's best.